I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. So a while ago, I remember a young woman I did not know very well, was very excited about her new macro-textured implants, and she grabbed my hand, put it on her, see, they feel real, and they did feel pretty real. And one of the advantages of these macro-textured breast implants is that they have these little tiny shell surfaces that create irregularly arranged concavities, and they have large open pore diameters. And what this does is it helps it adhere to the surrounding tissue, and that helps keep the implant in place. They have low rates of capsular contracture, low rates of malposition, they don't rotate or ripple, and patients in general, like the young woman I met, are very happy with them. And let me say that initially with the whole breast implant, and yes, during the 80s where people were getting implants the size of their heads, it got ridiculous. And I'm sort of anti-implants because I like small breasts. I don't have a problem with that. But that was back when I was a whole lot younger. And, you know, there are women who deal with saggy breasts and they don't feel good about themselves with them, or they have other issues. It's not just about, you know, increasing breast size, or some women feel better with slightly bigger breasts. And when I was critical of them, I think I was wrong. I assumed that having breast implants, it was kind of like being pressured by a sexist society. But what I've come to understand is that most of the women I've talked to who have gotten breast implants do it for themselves, because it makes them feel better. It's about them. It's not about some man pressuring. I'm sure that has happened. We know that's happened. But for most of the women, pretty much all the women I've talked to, that wasn't the case. And they really, really loved their implants. And of course, it's on my part, once again, a man taking a position on women's issues, thinking he's thinking the right way, but not being a woman, can't. So nowadays, I'm in no way, shape, or form opposed to or bothered by breast implants. And it is always upsetting to find when there is a problem with them, and that's what has happened with Allergan and their BioCell textured breast implants, the kind that use the microtextures. And the FDA has just affirmed that there is a link between the BioCell products and breast implant-associated anaplastic large cell lymphoma. That's not good. So Allergan has issued a global recall of these breast implants. Now, that sounds scarier than it is. It does not mean that you have to have it ripped out of your chest. What it does mean is that, one, you can't buy them anymore. They won't be distributed. And it also doesn't have any effect on their Natrel Smooth or their microcell breast implants and tissue expanders. This only refers to their BioCell. The good news is that this type of cancer is extremely, extremely rare. And even though this does increase the risk of you getting it, it doesn't mean you're going to get it. It's still a very low risk, even if you have the implant. You're just at slightly higher risk of a very, very low risk event. But even so, what the doctors want women who have these breast implants to do is not worry about having to remove them. That has more risks than any benefit. But you do have to be aware of any potential symptoms. Awareness is what's important. Paying attention to things like pain, or redness, or swelling, or asymmetry, or a new lump. You should be paying attention to your breasts anyway. And if you have concerns about it, it's certainly worth having a talk with your doctor. So it's something to be aware of, but not anything to panic about. And speaking of implants, they're working on a matchstick stick-sized implant that could be a big deal. This implant is for the very, very slow release of MK-8591. This is a substance that is roughly 10 times stronger as an HIV inhibitor than any other medicine on the market right now. And it has a very high barrier against resistance. Now, right now, the main preventative we have, other than, you know, not having sex or using condoms, which is still not 100%, is taking PrEP every single day. And it is not inexpensive. It is very, very expensive. It is scandalously expensive. And yes, I think the patent is being exploited to make a lot of money at the expense of patients and at the expense of this not getting out to enough people to really do what it should do. In England, where they made PrEP widely available, their HIV rates dropped dramatically. Now, this implant is in early stages of testing, although it looks very promising, and we understand these inhibitors pretty well. But of course, it's got to come out at a reasonable enough price that people can actually afford it. And that's a sticking point. I mean, PrEP is amazing and great, but having to take a really expensive pill every day, that's a short-term solution at best. Now, having to have an implant put in once a year, that's better. But it's still really not where we ultimately want to wind up. What we really need is a vaccine. And there is pretty exciting news on the vaccine front. They have completed phase 2 trials in Kenya, Rwanda, and the United States, where they used healthy, low-risk, HIV-negative adults. And these trials show that the vaccines are very well tolerated. So the planning is now going into phase 3, which is actual clinical testing. And these papers just came out July 17th in Science Translational Medicine. Describes the vaccine, which uses a form of the common herpes virus, CMV. It was live attenuated or weakened, so it couldn't spread easily. But it's still SIV, which is the simian form of HIV. It eliminated it in 59% of the vaccinated rhesus monkeys. And the immunity is long-lasting, and that's one of the reasons these trials take so long. But they find that 9 of the 12 vaccinated monkeys were still able to fight off SIV 3 years later. Now, having an attenuated version of a live virus in this vaccine is really, really important, because you can't test this stuff until you can get a good attenuated version. At least you can't test it on human beings. Although, even live CMV is fine for most people, but it can be a real problem for people with weakened immune systems, or if you've had an organ transplant, or pregnant women. So getting to an attenuated version is a big deal. Interestingly, a similar approach is also going to be tested for vaccines to fight tuberculosis. But again, the frustrating part of all this is how slow the trials are, and that's just the way it has to be to make sure something is both safe and effective. It takes time, and you just can't hurry that up. So for now, the real battlefront is getting the cost of PrEP down and making it more available. But I think it won't be too many years into the future when we have alternatives to PrEP that are far better and much, much less expensive. So let's take a quick look at where we are with PrEP, because there are new official CDC guidelines. And before I read them, let me explain a couple of things. They're going to use the term MSN, and that's men who have sex with men. And they also use the term ART, which stands for Suppressive Antiretroviral Therapy. Okay, now that we know our terminology, let me read it for you. For HIV-positive MSM, taking ART regularly greatly reduces the risk of HIV transmission to a negative partner. For persons who achieved and maintained viral suppression, there is effectively no risk of transmitting HIV to their HIV-negative sexual partner. This translates to an effectiveness estimate of 100% for taking ART regularly as prescribed and achieving and maintaining viral suppression. Effectiveness is lower, and there is a risk of transmitting HIV when persons do not take ART as prescribed or stop taking ART if viral suppression is not achieved or if viral suppression is not maintained. But when taking PrEP daily or consistently, by that they mean at least 4 times per week, the risk of acquiring HIV is reduced by about 99% among MSM. And there's two big things about this. One is that the CDC is saying, yeah, this stuff works, and it's as close to 100% as you could probably get. And the other part of it is that if your HIV is undetectable, it is untransmittable. And that's something we know. We didn't know that for certain not that long ago, but we do know it now. I should point out that this is not actually new science and stuff that we just discovered. The change has been that the CDC has made it official by updating their website with this new, sort of new information. What was previously on the CDC website was using older, more conservative estimates about how effective this stuff is before we really had all the science in. Well, it's now in. And the other good news is that if the PrEP that we're using now is working so effectively and we understand how it works, it also means that the likelihood of being able to develop better systems using the same kind of technique with suppression, that is very encouraging for the development of even better methodologies. We are not quite home free, but we can see the light at the end of the tunnel with the possibility of wiping out HIV for good.